Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, I love what I feel in the house of the Lord today. A lot of places you go to and you step behind the platform and man, you just whoosh, 100 miles an hour, you have no breath. And then there's those times like this morning where you step into the pulpit and you just feel like God is still reaching and God is still drawing. And God is still healing and he's still mending together and he's putting, see, that's what God's doing this morning. I feel the Lord is, God is still tugging on that heart, and that's the reason why the tears, that's the reason why you're so anxious. You don't know, because God is knocking on the heart. He wants to come in and he wants to fix what's broken. You've got to let him in today, because all we have is just about an hour, and I'm going to give you probably about 20 minutes of preaching. We'll give an altar call. This is all we have. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm probably the worst in the building. Somebody asked me the other day, man, what does your schedule look like? I said, man, we're in 2026 and we're moving along, but we never stop to think that all we have, Brother Weir, is right now. I've got vacations planned, Brother Runyon, all that's fine, but all I have is right now. All I have is the moment to impact you with God's word, that when his word goes forth, that you'll receive it and you won't go home. All we have is just an hour. And I'm not concerned about the hurt, the pain, the bitterness, the envy, the strife. I'm more concerned about the soul this morning. And I know that God's not going to leave you as he finds you. But God's going to resurrect something in you today. You must say, God, for just a minute, God, I want to give you everything. So I want you to lift your hands in this house one more time. And I want you to say, God, work on me today. Work on me, God. Work on me. Come on, work on me, God. Amen. I'm thank God that I'm not what I used to be. Not perfect by no means, Brother Caleb. Because at the end of the day, God is still working on this preacher. Oh, yes, I don't proclaim to be some kind of hotshot evangelist. I know I'm a sinner just saved by grace. And if it had not been for mercy and the grace of a loving Savior, I would not be here today. But thank God I'm still here. Thank God that you're still here after 8 years. 8 years. My goodness. I was thinking about that the other day. Man, how long has it been since he first planted a church? 8 years. My God. You've been from building to building to building and probably another building and another headache. And it's just exciting to know that there'll be a day where we'll stand and say, man, 16 years? Just another building and another building and another building and another building. But man, when you just get in the will of God, amen, God just opened doors and reaching souls and revival, and you just can't put limitations on what God wants to do. Amen. I'm just excited to be connected with people who just love God and want to see revival. Amen. If you have the word of the Lord today, I want to direct your attention to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Amen. Me and Brother Ken and Brother Weir, we've got this thing going. I'm afraid one day I'm going to come in here and he's going to put something out there I don't have a clue about. I told him, he said he remembered a time where they used to get ready and somebody, they would just store scripture and you got to preach on that. And he said, we ought to try that one day. So hold that thought, not today. Because knowing Brother Ken like I do, he's going to put Leviticus, preach 12 and all this other stuff, and you're going to have to bow your heads and we're going to have to wait on the Lord till we get it right. So today we're just going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Man, I appreciate good people. Love good people, man. I've known these precious people for a long time. And one thing I've noticed, they never change. I want to be around people like that, that are going to love you when everything's going good, but they're going to love you when the bottom falls out. Amen. We appreciate your pastor's family, and we love them. 1 Timothy chapter 6 today, amen, verse number 6. Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and I'm convinced that certain without a shadow of doubt, we can't take nothing with us. And having food and raiment, let us be with thereof content. But they that which be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. And I'm not going to preach on money, trust me. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight a good fight. I'll be honest with you, brother. I've been in some battles, some fights, and I've won some fights, but I've also been on the other side where I got hit here and it wasn't so good. So the writer said he fought some good fights. But also he said, I kept the faith, but I held on to this thing called eternal life. I got a grip when things got tough and I just held on. And I feel like preaching to you this morning just from this simple thought. The fight of your life. The fight of your life. Would you lift your hands today one more time in this house, and would you close your eyes, and would you see things in the spirit today that you can't see with the natural eye? And if you can take a glimpse in the spirit world, you'll see that there is a fight taking place. There's a war taking place. There's a reason behind the addiction. There's a reason behind the suffering. It's because the adversary is trying to get you to simply let go. But I've come to tell somebody, just let God do it today. Hang on. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for this word that is fitly framed. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for every guest. I pray, God, today that you would help us to understand the importance of fighting this good fight of faith, laying it all on the line, forgetting those things which are behind us, pressing towards the mark, I pray. God, I need your help this morning. I need your help. Help me, God, today. I need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing until the Lord comes back. Amen. The fight of your life. I had the opportunity to sit down and listen to a fighter who was given an autobiography of himself. He was asked the question, what was some of the greatest accomplishments in his career? He started out by saying that there was a lot of times that he was asked to be in the undercard of the great big fights, the lesser fights. But he said one of the greatest achievements of his career, Pastor, was he was asked to fight on the big stage, to fight the big fight. He began to tell them about the preparations he made to the upcoming of this fight. He began to tell them about the diets that he had to endure and the early mornings and making sure his mentality and his mind was right. He began to tell them about all the distractions that he had to eliminate, because after all, this was no ordinary fight. This was just not an ordinary purse fight. This indeed, he said, was the fight of my life. Yes, he had prayed about this opportunity, but he never thought the opportunity would be presented to him. But he said the fight now has presented to him. In other words, he was telling us that his whole training had to be different. His mentality had to be different. He had to isolate himself. Everything he did up to that point was all in preparations for the big fight. Finally, after the fight, and we know that he was a champion, he sat there in that bed and they asked him this one simple question: what drove you, amen, what was your mentality that drove you, amen, to get to the big fight? He said these simple words again: this was no ordinary fight, but this indeed was the fight of my life. Wow, when we looked at that picture, he had some bruises and he had some battle scars, and I'm sure he was missing a couple teeth, but at the end of the day, he could stand and say that he was now the champion of the world. Nobody could take the title from him. He had to go through rigorous routine, amen, days up, days down, but at the end of the day, in spite of what he looked at, he could say, I'm now the champion of the world, amen. I begin to think about, amen, that autobiography, pastor, how this life is just a vapor. Amen. We're here today, but we could be gone tomorrow. I begin to think, amen, there'll be people today under the sound of my voice who take life as just a game. But I've come to tell you, friend, that the bell of life is about to ring. And you've got to make a calling and election sure. You've got to make sure today, amen, that you're fighting a good fight of faith. But more importantly, you've got to hang on into eternal life. Man, the writer tells us that he fought a good fight. And it was a struggle, but he fought a good fight. Amen. He persevered through trials and temptations, but at the end of the day, he fought a good fight. Amen. He could not be deterred because he was alive on purpose. And no matter what he went through, amen, whether he was shipwrecked or bankrupt, he had one purpose, and that was, I've got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I'm preaching that everything that can be shaken is about to be shaken. And when the shaking takes place, you better make sure your feet is placed on a firm foundation. When this world is being shook to and fro, you got to be hanged on to something that's secure in the foundation. So he understood it was more than just fighting. But the difficult part is, you got to hang on. Because when tough times come, how do we respond? When sicknesses show up, how do we respond? Can I tell you that your character is formed and made in some of the toughest times of your life? And I'm looking at people today who've been through some trials, and you've been through some storms, and you've been through some sicknesses. Oh, but I've come to tell you, the good thing is you're still here and you're still alive. And that lets me know today that hell has given you its best punch, but you bounce back up. Come on, there's the middle of the day. That the devil has tried you, but you got something inside of you that says, I've got to get up. Rejoice not against me, all my enemies, because when I fall, see, you don't have to take falling down as a final say-so in your life. It's how we respond when tough times come. It's how we respond when the devil tries your life. Come on, he takes Jesus, and we know he sits down and he has a conversation with Jesus, and he presents Jesus all these things. If you'll bow down and worship me. Man, he shows him Hollywood. He shows him all the bright lights and all the splendor and all, this looks good. I'll give this all to you. So tempting, isn't it? That's how the devil is. He'll show you everything. He'll show you sin. But what he won't not tell you, amen, that when sin is conceived, when it's done with you, when it throws in the trash, it brings, oh, it looks good, it feels good, it tastes good. But when sin has conceived itself, it brings forth, he won't show you that part.
He paints a pretty picture. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that trap. See, I'll give you all this, but the Lord says, no, no. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth. That wasn't why. I've got to give him another shot. He begins to try Jesus to the point where Jesus just got sick and tired of sitting down with the devil. And he says, say, you know what? Get thee behind me. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like somebody's about to rise up and look the enemy in the face and say, devil, get your hands off my marriage. Get your hands off my mind. Get deep behind me in Jesus' name. Get your hands off my life. Get your hands off my soul. Get deep behind me in Jesus' name. I wish somebody would rise up and say, devil, it's time to go. I've got one more round in me. That boxer, they begin to ask him some questions. What was your motivation? And I begin to think, I said, man, he sounds like Rocky. You know, you ever watch those Rocky movies? And Rocky was everybody's hero. After about the first Rocky, you knew what was going to happen to Rocky. You know Rocky could never lose. You know, he'd get beat up, face this way. But somehow Rocky come back to the corner, and his team's about ready. No, wait a minute. Rocky look up and say, hold on, I got one more round. Dude, your face is crooked. You lost your left eyeball. You can't go. Wait a minute. Just hold on. Rocky goes back out there. Apollo Creed, man. The boxer, boom, boom. He's making fun of him. He's, man, this guy's crazy. Boom. And we all sit. Come on, Rocky. Come on. Rocky's getting hit. He goes back to his corner. I got one more round. Hold on. So what are you doing, dude? You're getting beat up. You ain't got no more rounds. We don't got no, we don't have, he goes back out again, and he's beating him, and he'll look at him, and he'll beat him again. Poor Rocky, he's just sitting there, no defense. Man, this guy's nuts. But this time, the champion would go back to his corner, and he would say, man, this guy, he just won't go down. I've gave him every punch, he just won't go down. And all of a sudden, Rocky would go back out there, and he was waiting on just that one target. He'd take a hit and again. But this time, Brother Jacob, when he swings, Rocky takes a step back, and bam, he hits the challenger, and he knocks him out. I'm preaching to somebody today. Amen, that you got one more round in you. The devil should, the worst mistake he made was to let you get off the canvas of life. But I've got one more round. You should have killed me, but I've got, come on, give me what your best shot. I wish somebody yell one more round. Somebody shout, I got one more round. I can still live. I can still preach. I can still worship. My life is not through. I've got one more round. I've got one more round. Oh, Shatana. I feel somebody's sister Biddle is on the canvas of life. And they say, I cannot get up. I've made too many mistakes, and it's difficult to get up. Can I tell you, the longer you sit there and wallow in your pain, sometimes, folks, God will forgive you, but you got to learn to forgive yourself. Is this okay? God has forgiven you. Everything's going to be all right, but you got to forgive yourself and say, self, you cried too long. You sat here for too long, but today I'm getting back off the canvas. I've got one more round to go. I've got one more fight in me. I refuse to stay on the bottom, but I'm getting ready. But you've got to hang on, he said. I've got to get a grip on this thing called eternal life. See, we got to bring it back down to reality. And as much as we would love to stay, I was thinking this morning as I woke up, and I was thinking about Brother Ken and Brother Weir and your pastor. I said, man, wouldn't it be nice just to stay here forever and grow old and maybe grow some hair. I don't know. Seem nice, man, just to stay here, just grow old. And but then I thought, man, this world's not my home. We're not always going to be here. So I've got to get a fresh spiritual vision, Brother Runyon, of where I want to spend eternity. See, because the fact is, God's not going to choose for you where you want to spend eternity because you're not going to blame him. So you've got to get a fresh vision of where you want to spend. Because here's the thing. If you get a fresh revelation of where you want to spend eternity, you're going to grab a hold of that. And you're not going to let go. So that's what we got, two choices. Let's talk about the downfall. If you're not going to serve God, you don't want to worship God, because no man can serve two masters. You're fighting for your life. Your life is at stake. Your soul's at stake. So you've got to decide for yourself. Is this place called hell nobody wants to talk about? Because Hollywood has portrayed hell to be such a country. I had a guy tell me one time that he looked me in the eyes and he was so convinced, Brother Harper, I'm going to hell without a shadow of a doubt. I said, wow. He said, because I've heard. What'd you hear? It's going to be a nice place. He was convinced I'm going to hang out with my friends and all that. I said, you probably will, but it won't be a nice place. Because Hollywood has portrayed hell to be so like a country club. And when you mention hell, nobody fears hell anymore. Let me tell you today, I wish I could open up every door, open up every window, and let everybody on the sound of my voice, I don't care who it is, from the president to the mayor, let them know you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to a place of everlasting torment. You know, I'm telling you, it's not going to be a pretty place. It's not going to be a country club. It's not a place you're going to spend just for 12 months, but it's a place you'll spend for eternity. See, once you punch your ticket to go, there's no return. But on the flip side of that, you know, there'll be people that actually get that kind of vision, and they'll hang on to that vision, and when they pass away, this time has expired. But on the flip side of that, if you can just get this vision of going to a place where there'll be darkness, there'll be no sin there, there'll be no heartaches there. It's just thinking about everything I'm going through down here that won't be there. That just gets me excited. I won't have no bills there. I don't have to have a car there. I'm going to have all kinds of friends there. As a matter of fact, Jesus was going to be there. He's going to be there. Amen. There'll be principalities there. Amen. If you struggle with diabetes, diabetes won't be there. Amen. Cancer won't be there. I've got to get a firm grip on what heaven's going to be like. And I've come to let somebody know I'm starting to see the bright lights are shining. It's just about home time. You're in the fight of your life. But hang on, mom. Hang on, husband. Hang on, wife. And don't let go. Get a grip. And because if we let go, I know trials are going to come. This is just life. I'm sure everybody in this building, you've had problems knock at your doorstep. If you haven't, God bless you. I can assure you they're on the way. There's people here, you had to deal with sicknesses. And here's the thing. Some of us inherit battles we didn't even pray for. I didn't pray to fight no devils. They just showed up. I'm sure I know people today that they've got cancer. They didn't pray for cancer, no. We just inherit things that we didn't even pray for. But I believe sometimes, Pastor, God can trust people with situations, amen, that they go through in life. What was the reason God said, you know what? Why don't you test Job? I believe God knew without a shadow of a doubt. And no matter what you do from Job, amen, he's got revelation that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But I'm going to bless him. I don't care if you take his family. You can attack his body. But Job found him a place outside of the desert, and he began to worship God. Because when I look at the back of the book, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. Let me preach to somebody. That's the reason why you got to hang on. Because when this life is over, there's a crown of righteousness. Yeah. was this crown of righteousness. I'm not striving just to go to heaven. I'm striving to get my crown. When he says, well done, thy good and that is the word we struggle with because everything's fine, but he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So Sister Biddle, so God knew that you're going to go through trials, but he still says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because God knew the moment you was going through that trial, he knew the moment you didn't endure that sickness, that you went one more round and you're still here. 8 years, you're still having revival. 8 years, people still getting the Holy Ghost. That lets me know one thing: we're still fighting, we're still holding on. We should have let go a long time ago, but we're still in the fight. You can look around this morning, and for whatever reason, I don't know, but you know people this morning who used to be here, who used to worship, probably even used to preach, I don't know, but somewhere through time, they just let go of the things of God. They don't pray like they used to pray. This boxer, he was saying, they asked him about the big fight. He said, the moment I knew that I was going to accept the fight, he said, I knew I had to, and without a shadow of a doubt, make the right preparations and make the right decisions. The moment you repent of your sins, hear me, somebody. And the moment you were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean, you now step into the arena of life. This is when the battles really begin. This is when the storms really rage. But you've got to make up in your mind that God don't call warriors, amen, to cower in fear, but God calls us soldiers, because when push comes to shove, we're still going to fight the good fight of faith. I've come to preach, amen, to a wounded warrior. It's time to get up, because you've got one more round in you. You still got some fight in you. You still got some praise in you. You still got some worship in you. But the question is, how will you respond today? Because everybody wants to go, because the sound, it looks so good. But reality is, some of us aren't ready to go. Let me just tell somebody, don't let the devil hold your past against you. The worst mistake you can do is let the devil hold your past. Listen, you're greater than that. And what the devil hates the most is when wounded, Brother Jacob, when the weak people have the audacity to get back up. Because he wants to keep you in the sin, keep you in the heartache, keep you in the misery, keep you in depression. But the moment you just rise up, that lets the enemy know, amen, I thought they were going to die. I thought they were going to cave in. But as long as you got a heartbeat, as long as you got breath in your lungs, you got to let the adversary know that today is my day of recovery. Today is my day of deliverance. I'm getting back on my feet. I'm dusting off the ashes of my past, because greater is he that's in you. So we're stuck. We're stuck trying to get out. The reason some of us are stuck is because we just let go. Just let go. But here's the thing about it is, you don't have to stay stuck. As much as I love you, I wish I can grab you and grab a hold of my coattail and up and up, up, away you go, but it don't work that way. I wish it was that easy. Nobody'd be stuck. But here's the thing. You've got to want this thing. Because I can drag you and push you and pray for you all I want to. But if you don't want this thing, you're going to let go. But if you, because here, at the end of the day, folks, time is running out. We think we have all the time in the world. I know a good friend of mine, and I'm getting ready to close, a good friend of mine, pastors in Alabama. Good guy, thriving church, thriving church. You know, sometimes we get friends, family members, and we think, man, they're going to live forever, Brother Ware. I look at some of you folks like Brother John and Michael, they're going to live forever. You just develop friendships like that, man. He's like, you could shoot them, and they're just that great. Don't you go shoot them. But you develop friend relationships like that, and you think, man, they're going to last forever. You know, a good friend of mine, he called me one day, bro, Lord, pray for me. I'm going to run these tests, you know, da-da-da. But everything's going to work. God's got it. No big deal. You know, we do our prayer, you know, go about our day. A couple weeks later, they found this little thing called cancer. No big deal, man. It's inoperable, but they can treat it. We're going to be all right. Cool deal. No big deal. Cool deal. Time to time, he's still fighting. All kinds of time, he just gave up and quit. But he just kept trusting God, kept on fighting. Months passed by, and he just bought this brand new truck, this nice truck. And he posted on Facebook, and he said, I've got this truck for sale. I told my wife, I said, something ain't right. I shoot him a text, and, hey, pray for me, we're still fighting, God's good. I said, man, everything must be fine then. Praise God, God's good. But you see, life has a way of just showing up. Reality has a way of just exposing itself to you. So I'm getting ready to go to preach a couple weeks ago. And usually before I go to the platform, make sure all my gadgets are turned off and everything's turned off and don't want any distractions. But this particular day, I decided to open up my phone just a couple weeks ago. I opened up my phone and I just told my wife, you know, when I get back, I'm going to call him. Hey, we're still in the fight. Everything's going to be all right, man. We're going to just have revival. I open up the phone and reality hits me right in the face. No way. No, this ain't real. No, I thought this guy would live forever. Come to find that he passed away, I'm thinking, man, there's no way. I sat back and I didn't know my emotions was everywhere. I'm trying to preach and trying to hold it together for everybody else, but on the inside, I'm broken. I'm hurting. Try to put on a smile. You preach and everything's fine. You shake a hand, everything's fine, but on the inside, I'm just a mess. I go home, and just like your pastor, God has a way of waking us up early in the morning. And I remember waking up that morning, still messed up. And I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, find comfort in this thing. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. Oh, yeah. What you know, cancer didn't win. What it may seem like won, cancer didn't win. Because he was faithful. He fought a good fight. He held on anytime he could have let go. And I want you to know that he received his crown. I've come to preach to us today as we close that you just got to hang on, Mom. I know it seems like it's sinking the sand, but just hang on. You've got one more round in you. Come on, let's all stand. Got one more round in you. Doesn't matter how it looks like. Doesn't matter what it seems like. I don't care. What? No. You got one more. You're here. That lets me know that you're still in the fight. That lets me know that I'm still in this thing. I've been through trials and the storm winds have blown. But at the end of the day, you're still standing. It may hurt, but you're still standing. You could have gave up a long time ago, but you're still, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's raised up the standard. I want everyone in this house, I want you to lift your hands as high as you can raise them right now in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm not concerned about your mistake. That's why the writer said, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, you can't. can't do nothing about it now. Forget it. Ain't no sense of weeping over nothing. Something that you can't do nothing. Leave it alone. Shut the door on the past. You're greater than that. God is trusting you today that when he gives this altar call, that you'll say, Lord, here I come. I'm ready to bounce back. I'm ready to pray again. I want to serve again. I want to love again. I want you to stick this number one there. Some of you need to let the devil know. I got one more in me. Listen, I'm not, Brother Jacob, I'm not trying to go 10 rounds in one round. I'm not trying to get, I'm not trying to go 10 rounds in an hour. I just got one more round. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the next revival. I've got one more round in me. And I've got to let the devil know, hey, you should have killed me in round one. But the worst mistake you made was to let me bounce back up again. I may have some battle scars and I may have some bruises, but I've got one more. So here's what I'm going to do. Those of you in this house who raised up that one hand, I know you have some scars and some bruises and some hurts, but hear me. Got one more round. Got one. He hit you with his best shot. But he can't, he's baffled because some of you folks got one more round. And after a while, the devil's like, gave him my best shot. I tried their marriage, I tried their family. I messaged their kids, but look at them. They got one more round. He's trying to come up with another plan, but you've got one more round. As a matter of fact, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the devil can't kill what God has placed in you. I've got one more round. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open this altar. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice, listen, I don't care what you're going through. Got one more. I want you to, as you are, I want you to come to this altar. I don't want you to kneel. I want you to stand around this altar this morning, and we're going to make a declaration. God, I've got one more round. I've got one more fight left in me. I'm going to give you all I've got. Come on, come on, Leo. Come on, keep coming. I've got one more round. I may have some scars. I've got some wounds.